Alright, good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 27th October 2024, Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, second edition, as produced by me from my transcript. As usual, we will now compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then we shall mindfully proceed with the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Amitabha, 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 Namo Dīshāng Wāng Pūsā, Namo Dīshāng Wāng Pūsā, Namo Dīshāng Wāng Pūsā, Namo Fō Pūsā, Namo Fō Pūsā, Namo Fō Pūsā. Arahaṁ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā, Buddhaṁ Bhagavantaṁ Abhivādhimi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya maja pamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect Triple Gem Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami, Sanghang Pujayami. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalesu Atraha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta eva manusanang buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pajatang veditabo vinuhiti supatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato saukasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato saukasango Yadhidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato saukasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can miss it. Eh? Then we shall continue from where we stop. Eh? We are at page 87 of the Heart Sutta, second edition book. Part 3 on meditation. This one was a summarized description of a retreat which was held in the year 2012, about 12 years ago. Post-retreat sharing written by me. The short retreat was between 2nd to 8th of August 2012. That was the first time I think Venerable Ajahn Ajalo from Anandagiri. He actually visited us and conducted a retreat for our Kayamitas too. that was held at the Champaka Buddhist Lodge, somewhere near Taman Mega, nearby the Taman Mega. Then before that, actually, I had been teaching there for many years, Saturday class. Then that week, he also managed to get a slot to hold that 1 week retreat at Champaka Buddhist Lodge. Then after that, I decided to write a post-retreat sharing so that people can develop better understanding of what happened and how to develop clearer understanding and benefit from such retreats. These are typical what we call Theravada tradition type of meditation retreat, where the typical sharing is, of course, the devotional practice part first. We start off with the usual retreat chanting. So there is a pre-retreat chanting, then the puja offerings, then after that we will have a short meditation sitting, then after that they will also have their normal, what we call lunch. We didn't have formal pindapat, it's just around the temple there, short on. And most of the devotees, they brought the food there. And we will have the offering of food to the Sangha, and at the same time, rejoicing. Then after that, we will chant the pre-puja. Then together with the devotional chanting and practices, we have our so-called dana, where we allow everybody to have their meals. Then there is a post-dana sharing and blessing by Ajahn. Then after that, we will follow the retreat program for the whole day. And what happened was, for those who understand, when you partake in such Buddhist activity, especially the Theravada tradition's meditation retreat, you develop a lot of wholesomeness, especially the 10 meritorious actions. You get to do them and you get to rejoice, pay respect to Triple Gem, then chant the salutation to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And at the same time, make offerings, rejoicing, meditate. Then after that, we also listen to Dhamma sharing. Then we straighten our view. Then we share merits, transfer merits. Then we provide service to the sasana and help out in whatever Buddhist duties and activity that we may need to do. And this will cover almost all aspects of our 10 meritorious actions. We will get to perform them, even keeping the precept, sila, making dana offering, which is dana, then meditation. So dana, sila, bhavana is already there. Then we listen to the Dhamma. Then we rejoice, we share merit, we transfer merits. Then after that, we provide service to the sasana, the Buddhist community and other things. And at the same time, we also get to perform all the other wholesome meritorious action, thereby covering almost all aspects of the 10 meritorious action. That's why under the post-retreat sharing, I mentioned here. So now I read this, you will understand better. Conditions are very conducive at that time, and the retreat was well received by all. It had also benefited so many of them in so many ways. This was made possible because of the continuity of mindfulness, bhavana, and great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat. So all this you will understand, because for this retreat, the emphasis is on mindfulness, to develop the mind that is always mindful, leading to heedfulness. Then bhavana is of course the training of the mind to be aware, to stabilize the awareness within, so that you can use it to develop the meditative wisdom. Then silence your mind constantly to listen to the Dhamma, to contemplate, to reflect, to inquire, to develop the first, second, and third turning wisdom. Yeah. Then the 10 meritorious action bring forth great wholesomeness expressed by all throughout the retreat. And it has also resulted in such good condition for many of the participants to experience rather good meditative state and development of the five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. And many Kayamita, they also come and partake in the Dana offering. I remember at that time, Raymond, Yunchan, and many Kayamita, they were bring the food, potluck, and make offerings. Then there's a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of joy. So the conditions during the retreat were very conducive for good bhavana training and wholesomeness training to set the base for our past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping to speed up our cultivation. And this was really manifested during that retreat, because I was there most of the time, although I only managed to join in on weekend, and weekday I only come after the supposed to be lunch break, where I was still working, but my working hours are flexible, so sometimes I come early. Then if I don't have meeting, then I can stay a little bit longer. Then I witness a lot of things, and I decided to write this down so that the post-retreat sharing can act as a useful understanding for future participants or future cultivators who attend such retreats. Even our annual retreat is the same, except we have more awareness-based training. We also have our puja, the retreat chanting, and also the normal chanting. Because devotional practice and the pre-puja, post-puja chanting are important. These are traditions introduced by the Buddha himself. During this devotional practice, we not only develop our faith, saddha, virya, samadhi, and panya. So these spiritual faculty, they arise naturally when you have the understanding. And this pre and post puja, followed by all the devotional practice, is to develop the vibration for us to open up our heart, and at the same time motivate that saddha through understanding. Sadha is a very important spiritual faculty. When we have sadha developed, it can give rise to understanding of who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is, how unique a being he is. And this sadha is faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, born of understanding, not through blind faith where you just believe. No, through knowing who he is, such a unique being as the Buddha, who is not only enlightened, fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. And his teaching is such that it can liberate the living being's mind and transform them to develop the enlightenment in the here and the now, so that they understand life and they can live life, and no more delusion, no more avijja. And this is what sadha meant. Then after this has been developed, the constant chanting and vibration and recollection of the essential Dhamma through all this chanting will help us a lot. Then we also get to renew our precepts. We also get to take refuge in the Triple Gem. We also get to pay salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then we also have our essential Dhamma sharing, especially the retreat version, where we chant different aspects of the sharing during different day of the retreat. So this all are very conducive to sustain our sadha, virya, then the wholesomeness together with the meditative practice or cultivation through mindfulness for us to sink in deep into the retreat. Thereby our mind become transformed. And with the meditative state and the five spiritual faculty developed, it will bring forth very conducive condition for us to connect back to our past cultivation. So this very good meditative mind states and development of the spiritual faculty can help us in many ways. Because what happened is our past can only arise to support us when we set the base for our past cultivation to connect back to us, thus helping us to speed up our current life cultivation. So all this need causes and conditions. If your awareness base nature within is not stabilized, it cannot actually receive much help from our past cultivation. Especially if you want your spiritual nature's cultivation to come back to you, you need to connect to your nature. Then what happens is every day we do the chanting, we take refuge in the Triple Gem, we renew our precept, we pay reverential salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. We maintain the tranquil, still mind or silent mind, the quietness. We do sitting, walking, meditation, and mindfulness or bhavana training, followed by listening to the Dhamma, straightening our view. Then we share merits, we rejoice, we transfer merits, and we dedicate these merits. Then we make offerings, and also we receive a dana offering from the devotees. Then we radiate metta. Then we have Dhamma discussion and meditation reporting, followed by question and answer, Gamdhamma sharing session, etc. All these are very, very wholesome and meritorious in nature. And together with all the non-humans and our collective group consciousness, it has created a very conducive environment which are charged with a lot of very good meditative and wholesomeness energy to benefit so many of us, including all those who have one way or other contributed to the success of the whole retreat. So what happened is that place itself is already quite good, because Champaka, they have the whole of their top floor, almost three quarter of it. They built a very conducive meditation hall, rectangular. I think can accommodate easily up to 100. And at that time, because when I went there and conduct the weekly meditation, especially the first time I went there, wow, the whole area was like charged with a lot of very beautiful energy. Then over the years when I was there, it was equally beautiful. So I remember that time, Brother Ing Chai, he came together with two other, I think. One of them is PK, and the other two, I forgot the name. They came and attend my Saturday class. At that time, I was conducted at another place, one of the Kayamita's house in BU area, I think. Then what happened was they invited me to go to Champaka to share. And I told them, let me check with the Kayamita. Then the response was very good. So I accepted. And the retreat, the weekly Saturday meditation class English session was on. And the first session we had, a total of 40 plus to 50 attended. I was also surprised. Oh, the whole hall was almost full. Then after that, I continued the sharing for many months. Then in between, there was one monk from Sri Lanka. He liked to come and sit in with us. He came in one day and asked for permission. Then he has been following. Off and on, he come, then he go back, then he come. Then later, I shifted the Saturday class back to my Tuesday class in my house. He couldn't find me, so he asked around. Then luckily got one devotee, which is, I think, a married couple. They came to my Tuesday class, so they managed to inform him that he said, Bhante, he said, Brother Teo is now holding the class in his house. Then he sent this monk the WhatsApp. Then the monk replied with joy and sadhu and say, yeah, Achan, is it? Means the meditation teacher. So that was very beautiful. Anyway, what I want to let you know is, wherever there is wholesome mind, good, sincere cultivator of the way, that area will be charged up, because the non-human everything, they will also be there and they rejoice. Then the energy there is different. That's why that retreat was very good. Then I read on, you understand. This type of retreat is more intense and useful. Hence the five spiritual faculties and the mind can develop very much faster. It will encourage and motivate many of the participants who have benefited from it to diligently determine to continue their post-retreat cultivation. Well, during the retreat, a lot of them got into very good mind state, tranquil, calm, still mind state. And of course, many experienced good meditative experience and transformation too. Then they ask quite a lot of questions. So my nature rejoiced. Yeah. Then I advise some of them who talk to me, I say, this is very good, but do not be complacent. Because otherwise, you will lose this good mind state of trained mind within a very short span of post-retreat heedless living again. Yeah, when you go back from the retreat to your daily life and activity, you go back to your heedless way of living again. That's how you lost the momentum to complacency. So the ability to maintain and continue this good momentum of post-retreat cultivation is to integrate it into one's daily life. And this is most important. So the momentum of continuous post-retreat devotional bhavana and mindfulness training, we are a very good and disciplined daily religious routine or daily mindfulness or awareness training are equally important, means you must do it. So a good daily religious routine can be in the form of at least twice a day of strict devotional and bhavana training, just like you do at the retreat, except you shorten it to maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes, then you have the time, maybe 45 minutes. Yeah. That is once in the morning and once in the evening, at night before one sleep, followed by paying respect to the Buddha every time before you leave your house and every time when you return to your home. So this routine, I have been doing it for continuously the 3 years, 86 to 89. And every time I go to temple, so the first thing I do is after I park my car, I mindfully go to the main shrine, pay my respect, everything I develop with mindfulness, then I recite. And then I share merits, I transfer merit, then I radiate the metta to the environment, then I rejoice. So all this can be good religious routine. Then sometimes I sit. If it's favorable, conducive, I will sit for a while. Yeah. And that sitting can commence with normal chanting that we have, our Theravada tradition chanting. Yeah. Like you chant your salutation to the Buddha, then the Dhamma and the Sangha. Yeah. Then you pay respect. Then you renew your 5 precepts, then take refuge and do the usual loving kindness, metta radiation, or silence your mind to develop awareness based meditation. Then after that, when you finish, you can share merit, transfer merits, then at the same time, develop the whatever aspiration that you want to. You invoke power of merits, and you share merits. Then after that, you start your activity. If there's a Dhamma talk, you can decide to listen or what. So last time what I did was, I also volunteered to be committee members of the tape recording division, where I record all the talks of all the monks and speakers that attend Brickfield Temple at that time. Then we have to produce the tape for people to borrow. I remember there was every, I don't know which day really, I forgot already. Sunday, every Sunday we got the Sunday session where the tape library will be open for people who come early and also after the talk or session, then they can exchange their tapes. Well, we got a lot of tapes. So whatever that is available, you can borrow them and return them within the week also. So all these are very conducive. Then I read on. Maintain awareness of all your bodily action and movement is very important. Means kayanupassana. Means standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware. Then turning, bending, stretching. Whatever you do, aware. Like what is described in the kayanupassana. Sati sampajana training section. Putting on your shoulder cloth, aware. Answering nature's call, aware, standing aware, looking forward, aware, bending, turning, stretching, aware. Whatever you do, aware. Aware of what? All your action and movement within the present moment, including your hand movement, your bodily movement, your stretching, turning, or whatever activity, even the blinking of your eye. The turning and the stretching, everything you develop mindfulness. So every moment of sati or mindfulness or awareness will help you break the momentum of your heedless habitual thinking, thus enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training. Because if you don't anchor your mind, the awareness within, to your kaya, you will think a lot. The heedless thinking will continue because of the mental hindrance where you have not trained your mind. Your spiritual faculties are not stable. That's why this heedless thinking will continue. The habitual thinking, the habitual stirring of the mind, reaction to sense experience. These are mental hindrance. Then your constant fear, worry, anxiety. Sometimes scars of memory, you recollect through memory. That's why your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation or worry, you have a lot of things that troubles you, worry you. Your unfinished life activity or business, things that haunt you. Because you want to do but you don't know how to resolve it, and that one become a heedless thinking or what we call your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia. And this will constantly arise as thought to haunt you, whereas you accumulated them, you hold on to them. We call it the unresolved mind state. So this mental accumulated mental we call it what, your mental unfinished business, they will continue to arise and haunt you, constantly remind you. So what happens is, it's only when you are able to relax and maintain a deep sleep or good sleep, then this trap mental, what we call subconscious and unconscious mind states or phobia, the trap within your memory, they will have a chance to be released out. When you release it out, it actually frees you. Otherwise, your brain, your memory will be cluttered with all this so-called emotional negativity, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your insecurity, all this will haunt the living being. That's why most people, when they have first noble truth reality problem or unresolved matter in life, they cannot have good sleep or peaceful moments. That's why mindfulness help. The mindfulness training can allow you to anchor your sati or mindfulness to your kaya, bodily movement, which is always in the present moment. When you are aware, you cannot think. This is the understanding. When you are aware, you cannot think. So when you cannot think, means you don't have thought. Don't have thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety. This is how you break your momentum of heedless thinking, heedless habitual thinking. So the training of the mind in Kaya Anupassana can enable you to do that, means it will help you slow down your habitual thinking. Then after that, when you are able to develop it until there is certain stability, then that moment of awareness will help you break the momentum of heedless habitual thinking, thereby enabling you to stabilize your daily mindfulness training. If you cannot break that momentum of habitual thinking, then very difficult for you to be mindful or aware. Then you can see it. That's why in the unique code 133, I mentioned, when your thought slow down, this slowing down comes about because of your mindfulness training that enable you to develop the initial wisdom so that you got less avijja. So the first tooling of avijja paccaya sankhara has been weakened. Then what happens is it will lead to the slowing down of your habitual thinking. Then you will have more and more moment of awareness to replace that habitual thinking. Then you start to experience more and more space between thought. That's how it starts. Then with this slowing down of the thought process, you will come to realize that you have a lot less thinking because your mind is now less clouded by all the feeling, the emotion, the perception, and your whatever mind activity, including your fear, worry, anxiety, all this disappear. When you are able to be with the moment in silent awareness, there is only peace, tranquility, and stillness of mind. Then with that, you learn to see things as they are, develop the wisdom so that you understand the unreality of the phenomenal world of consciousness, their universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And when you penetrate that, then you will not cling, you will not hold, you will not be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness. And this is how you break the habitual thinking. Your fear, worry, anxiety, whatever, will be gone. Then you learn to accept things as they are. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. So you can be at peace. Selfish people do selfish things. Violent people do violent things. They are just the way they are. So this understanding will stabilize your mindfulness more and more, more and more, more, until you become very quiet and very still. And then one day you will realize your true mind. Yeah, this is how the awareness-based meditation develops through wisdom and understanding. Then after that, like the unique code 133, I say, mindfulness will stabilize and there is clarity to enable you to see things as they are. Then all of the phenomenal world, physical, mental, and nature's phenomenal, they will become very clear to you. Then you can understand the Dhamma very easily. Then the Buddha's teaching become like easily comprehensible by one who has gone through all this mindfulness training. That's why mindfulness training is very important. Okay, so we move on. Oh, finish, huh? Okay, so we'll go to lesson 16, huh? Sutta class 1.1. The title is Sense Basis Leading to Contemplative Wisdom and Daily Mindfulness. This topic is also very important, but this is just a summary. At that time, Miss Lee, I remember, after every class, he will try her best to write me all the pointer of the teaching that I have shared, then from the pointer I can recall what I share, then I actually help to improve, edit it, then summarize it so that it can become Heart Sutta short note for cultivator all the way to develop understanding. So at that time the purpose is to summarize. Then when I go through at the retreat, I will explain them. Then if you got any question or whatever question or inquiry that you might have, you can ask, then I can explain. Okay, now I read through first, so that you all can develop the understanding. The six internal sense bases are basically our five physical sense bases, like your ear, your eye, your nose, your tongue, and your bodily tactile, plus the mind or the brain. So the brain is also a sense basis, but that one is for thought to arise, so we call it the mind base. So the six internal sense bases are our five physical senses, the basic five, plus the brain, which is responsible for the arising of thought, which is the common denominator. So this mind base is the six internal sense bases. And the six external sense bases are our respective six types of sense data or sense object, like color, shape and form for our eye to arise the seeing consciousness. Then vibration in the form of sound or music or noise, etc., for our ear to arise the hearing consciousness, etc. Then upon contact of mind, their respective six sense consciousness comes to be. And like this physics laboratory experience or experiment of the light bulb, the switch and the battery. So it's the same as our physics laboratory experiment. When you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. So upon contact, the light bulb lights up naturally. So in the same way, our sense door consciousness operate similarly. So this, our sense door consciousness is also naturally conditioned arising. That is upon contact of mind with their respective sense bases and sense object. Their sense, their respective consciousness will come to be. So you don't need a God to create that consciousness of seeing. It is not something inside there or God that is responsible for you to have the ability to be conscious of seeing, conscious of hearing, smell, taste, tactile or thought process. This one is something arising naturally based on your physical and mental formation. We call it the five aggregates of form and mind. So if you understand the physics experiment as an analogy, then very easy to understand how you function as a human being. How do you know the world? How do you interact with the world? We need the senses through its respective consciousness to know the world. That's why we know the world through what we see, the seeing consciousness. We know the world through what we hear, the hearing consciousness. Then we know the world through our smell, our taste, our tactile, and our thought process. So all these are the six types of respective sense or consciousness that can make you conscious of life, conscious of what is going on in life. That's why consciousness is a marvelous phenomena for us living beings. to experience life, to actually come to perceive the phenomenal. Yeah. So this aspect is very important. Then after knowing how you come to know the world through your senses, you also have to inquire, how do you arise the ability to interact with the world? Also through our senses and through our mental, the memory, the perception, the conditioning, the belief system, whatever we have accumulated through the brain, the memory, through our conditioning, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, our whatever accumulated experiences, including our phobia, our insecurity, our fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, even our anger, our hatred, our whatever fear. All these are mind states, or what we call accumulated memories of what happened. So when we accumulate them, it becomes a problem when you don't understand how this accumulation can bring forth suffering, mental suffering, because you don't understand them for what they are. It's only a thought. How come it has such power over you to make you fearful, to make you miserable, to bring about so much restlessness, fear, worry, anxiety, leading to sorrow, lamentation, and your inability to be at peace with what happened? That's why leading to insomnia, inability to have good sleep, proper sleep, then also leading to depressive mind state, depression. Because when you continue to worry about a problem, the mental anxiety, fear, worry, sorrow and lamentation will continuously haunt you and develop very depressive mind state. That's why people develop depression. Yeah. And with depression, you can be so sick, mentally so sick, full of suffering, suicidal thoughts start to appear and manifest. Then at certain stage, they will have these suicidal thoughts, they might as well die. Because you cannot understand the meaning of life. Do you? Why is life full of suffering, misery? That's why the teaching come in. The first noble truth, reality, the eight conditions. The Buddha already explained, as a living being, especially us as a human, if we live long enough, we have to confront all these eight realities of the first noble truth. And when you don't have the understanding, you encounter them, you confront them, you suffer. That's why the first four realities are very basic humanity's problem, common to all. It's a common problem for all humanity, not only peculiar to you. That's why the Buddha said birth, old age, sickness and death is suffering when you don't have the understanding. When you confront them without understanding, then separation from your loved ones, your choice, possession, things that you hold on to dearly. Because these are all condition arising mind states. And these are all what they call condition arising phenomena. When condition is such, it appears you own them. You can have them, it belongs to you. But when condition ceases to be, it will cease to be, it will separate from you. Then sometimes when your own breath stops, your life falls gone, your entity erased, you will lose them too. So it's either they separate from you while you are still alive, because condition is no more to sustain it, or Your breath stops, your entity erased, and you cannot own anything. It's like either way, there is separation. And this separation can be very traumatic for people who don't understand where it affects living beings. Then when you are with people whom you don't like, also you suffer. Then when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your whatever craving or desire is not fulfilled, when you cannot get what you want, suffering will arise. Then the final 8th condition is, in short, the Buddha said, is due to our own self-delusion, sakkayatiti, that condition us to grasp and cling onto the 5 aggregate of form and mind, the so-called human being, believing that it is real, it is you, it is me, it is I. That sakkayatiti is the cause of suffering. So see all this clearly. Yeah. Then your mental entanglement will not be there. So the purpose of awareness-based meditation is to remove all this heedless thinking, all this delusion, so that you see them clearly, that they are not real, not what you think, not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling onto, grasp onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. No such thing. See clearly their universal characteristic, how they come, how they go. Like your thought process is impermanent. They arise and they pass away. It's only a thought. How real can it be? Consciousness and its content. And they continuously arise and pass away. When they pass away, did you die? If you didn't die, then why do you deludedly grasp onto it, cling onto it, and allow it to have so much power over you to condition your suffering, misery, leading to all your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation? See it clearly. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? As real as can be, is only a thought within the moment, arise and pass away. And that present moment is the only reality in life. So how real can life be? So see this, understand this, and awaken to it. Then you will have no more problem. Then you realize everything is just the way it is. Dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why that understanding is very powerful, that everything is mind-made. Whatever within the conditioned world, they are conditioned arising, causal phenomena, mind-made are they. Then you understand the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. That's why it's only the thought. How come it has power over you? It's because of delusion. We grasp, we cling, and we believe that it is real. It is you. The 5 aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vinyana. You cannot see them. You cannot understand their characteristics. That's why you keep on holding on to them. You think the physical body is real, belongs to you. And you cling onto it. You worry about it, getting old, getting sick, and finally die. Then you think that feeling which appears so real to you is you. But feeling come and go and you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? Likewise, emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, anger, hatred, violence, all these are not you. They are dependent originating mind state, condition arising mind state. They come and they go due to your wrong view, your lack of understanding. With mindfulness, see it, understand it, and awaken to it. Then if it's due to that, then why must you continue to be deceived and deluded by it? Why must you hold on to that wrong view? If you know their universal characteristics of anicchang leading to dukkang and anatta nature, then just let it be. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. This is the way things are. Develop this wisdom and transcend all this delusion. Then your mind becomes different. It can be in a state of tranquil, still awareness, to be aware, to live life. You have understood life, no reality. Everything is not what you think. There is no such thing as an atta or a permanent unchanging entity within all phenomena, including the form of mind, the so-called human being. And this one is not you. This one is a karmically conditioned form of mind for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to go through the karmic process, to develop whatever you can based on your understanding. So all these are very important. Okay? So after that, I come to the next part. How to develop contemplative wisdom. And this one is the second turning wisdom, which the Buddha called Chintamaya Panya. Whereas the meditative or bhavana type developed via cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness refers to the third turning wisdom called bhavana maya panya. So wisdom is always linked to harmony. Always remember that. When there is no harmony, means it is not wisdom. This is the reason why the wise ones are always in harmony or at peace with all things, no matter what happens in life. Sensual desire and evil are the first two mental hindrances of mind that will always arise when one reacts to one's sense experience without wisdom, means reacting or stirring of the mind always implies disharmony. We are wanting things your way. When you want things your way, which is not nature's way, following the panchaniyamas, you will suffer. But what you want is in conflict with nature's movement or evolution. So when you want things your way, which is not nature's manifestation, then you are in conflict with the nature's law. That's why you will develop suffering. Because the truth is, condition like that, things feel like that. It cannot be otherwise. That is the reality. That is the isness of things. Cannot be otherwise. So if you want to go against nature, you want things your way, which is not allowable via nature's law, then you suffer. So this is very clear. So when you develop the contemplative wisdom, you need to reflect, contemplate and inquire into all the essential Dhamma and teaching that the Buddha has taught us. Then when you reflect, you contemplate, you inquire, you stabilize your understanding. That's how the second turning wisdom or Chintamaya Panya arise. Then after that, you silence your mind completely, to be in the state of sati, to develop the third turning wisdom called bhavana maya panya, means wisdom born of the meditative training, means the silent mind, insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, and also the silent mind in the state of sati or awareness. Silently observe and understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How you stir your mind through delusion, avijja, and all those things. So all this is meditation. Without sati, without the pure awareness nature, you cannot see things as they are. You cannot insight into phenomena. You cannot awaken. You cannot develop the wisdom and the understanding. It's the silent observation of what is that brings about understanding. Without that silent mind, been aware, you cannot understand what is going on. Otherwise, your thought will come in and interpret what happened through your wrong perception, your wrong view, your wrong understanding. That's why no amount of thought-based meditation can bring about wisdom to liberate your mind. It can make you maybe smart, intelligent in a sense, but it can never bring about wisdom. It cannot develop the understanding to enable you to transcend duality, thereby transcending suffering. So all this is what awareness-based meditation is all about. So remember it, reflect, contemplate, stabilize the understanding, then cultivate accordingly. Yeah? So that contemplative second turning wisdom is very important. It prepares the base for you to receive further truth via any of the three turning. First, second, or third turning. So, contemplative wisdom also need a creative mind that is quite peaceful, quite tranquil and still, with little or no thought. You just throw up the inquiry and let it contemplate and reflect. Means through the memory, recollect what happened. Like birth is suffering, so the birth process you recollect. Then as you recollect mindfully aware, then the inquiry will suddenly enable you to understand. Because when you recollect, you recall what happened. And when you recall what happened, that awareness that recall will actually come across the understanding of the essential Dhamma. No wonder the Buddha said birth is suffering, old age, sickness and death is suffering. Because in the early days, most people take things for granted. They never experience old age, sickness and death. They don't know what is the meaning of birth. With birth comes the whole mess of suffering. Because if there is no birth, there is no old age, sickness and death. There is no separation. There is no first noble truth, reality, affliction. So all this become clear. Then the birth process itself also a lot of suffering. So when you contemplate and reflect, recollect, you see clearly. Then you develop deeper understanding, you stabilize. Then you have the understanding to allow you to transcend those reality. Like the Buddha categorize them into the five daily contemplation. He said, this body of ours is impermanent, goes the way of nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it cannot be you. So this physical body is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For he has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. So when you experience old age, sickness and death after birth, you should accept the reality where this belongs to the body, pertains to the body, that goes the way of nature, following the Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. It's not a permanent unchanging entity, it's not you. So don't be deceived. That's why you can come to terms with all this reality. You can accept them for what they are. Then let things be. And do what you have to do. You need to seek a cure or what, or seek second opinion or professional who have the understanding to heal you, to recover from that, what they call traumatic disease, or that problem that you encounter as you grow old, get sick and die. So all these are the understanding that can come. Then the fourth contemplation is about separation. Separation is a reality, is it? Don't wait till you entangle yourself, then only you start to reflect, contemplate. You reflect and contemplate early. whatever that you believe you own or cling is never real. He said, separation is a reality. Because these are all dependent arising condition, arising entity, dependent originating condition, arising entity. When condition cease to be, it cease to be. When your breath stop, you also lose your identity and you cannot own anything. So separation is a reality. Learn to accept them. Learn to confront them so that you do not lament over them. Because like the Buddha always share with us, he said, those foolish ones, he said, only the fools lament, because they will cling on to their property, my son, my children, my wealth, my property, my whatever choice, possession or belonging. This, the Buddha said, only the fools lament, the foolish people, for that physical body of his also don't belong to him. Then how can he own anything? Then wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein property and all those things. So this develop the contemplative wisdom for you to come to terms with this reality. So separation can happen in many ways. Through death, through nature's calamity, sometimes tsunami, earthquake, or even war, riots, or accident. And sometimes mishap happen, like during kidnap or during all the violent shooting, like what happened in the States, where people can own gun very easily. And shooting that kill many is quite common. Then sometimes because of religious conflict, they also kill and shoot people. So all this, if you reflect, contemplate, and you inquire, you recollect to your life experience, you will develop clear understanding. Then the last contemplation is to remind us clearly of what karma is. The Buddha said, we are all, not only human beings, living beings, all beings, born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So knowing that, we will have to develop clear understanding of the importance of karma. That's why we must take care of karma. And how to do that? We must follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, and purify the mind. And that is what Dhammapada verse 183 is all about. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sa citta pariyutapanam etang buddhana sasana. So when you understand all this, the teaching become very clear. The second turning wisdom can bring about peacefulness of mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, so that we do not react and stir our mind anymore. We can come to terms with all this reality, and they are all connected to the First Noble Truth realities. And this is how the wisdom born of first, second, and third turning can liberate the mind. Okay, with that, we move on to the last paragraph. Memory is useful for remembering one's house address, one's name, and bank account, and signature, etc. But not for grasping, clinging, and holding on to our unhappy, sad, and fearful memories of our psychological hurt. So this word is important, psychological hurts and emotional negativity born of past experience, etc. These kinds of memory must not be clung onto, otherwise they can condition one's sadness, grief, sorrow and lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, unhappy emotion, etc. So memory should be left in the brain as it is like the ROM, read-only memory, or RAM, random access memory in the computer. That is, when we do not cling on to it, but only access it when we need to make use of it, to perform certain useful and appropriate action or function. So memory, there are two types for our human mind or brain. One is mechanical memory, which is good for learning science, technology, skills. But the other one, which is psychological memory, is about the brain. So when the brain accumulates psychological memory, you don't have wisdom, it will bring forth suffering. That's why psychological memory is about the psychological time that manifests through your thought process. So psychological memory is very harmful. When you don't have the wisdom, it causes you a lot of suffering, mental agony, mental affliction. That's why all these mind states of sorrow, lamentation, worry, anxiety, sadness, deep resentment, fear, envy, jealousy, insecurity, scars of memory, etc. They are very negative emotion or mind state that can bring forth mental suffering, that will trigger off suicidal thought or bring about depression. Yeah. So without understanding, when you cling and grasp, you will suffer. Where there is security, self-delusion. And this is the one that conditions your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow. So without wrong thought, there is no negative emotion. Negative emotion arise from the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why all these are born of wrong view, that condition or your wrong thought that manifests as suffering, misery. Then I read on it. That is, we do not cling on to it, but only assess it when we need to make use of it to perform certain useful and appropriate action or function. True and actual meditation only begin when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. That is, when one is always aware and heedful throughout the day to investigate the Buddha Dhamma in daily life, we are cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness to truly understand who are you, what are you, how we function as a human being, via self-knowledge, and how we become what we are. We are understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience, and how we are conditioned into all the various mind states of suffering due to our own sakadity or ignorance. So this is the real meditation. Without the silent mind, you cannot understand all this. So the silent mind in clear, stable awareness or mindfulness will enable us to be aware of the sense door consciousness that arises at every moment of sense experience, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha Dharma, like the Four Noble Truths, the Law of Dependent Origination or Dwelling, etc., as taught by the Buddha within our own form and mind, or within this phantom-length body of ours. This witnessing via the direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom, leading to the awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is very important understanding. Huh? Okay, we stop here, huh? So that you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation after that. Huh? Okay, so we stop here. Part 2, huh? We finish part 1. Remember, awareness-based meditation is to allow you to develop the inner awareness, stabilize the inner awareness, so that you can realize your true mind without thought. The key to developing it is the four basic support, for awareness-based meditation. So these four support, especially the first three, is very important. Relax, the first support. Body and mind completely relax into it. Whatever happened, just relax. Physically, mentally, relax, be at ease. So that there is no tension, no stress within. Then after that, maintain the awareness that your nature is capable of. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Don't allow the mind to continue with the habitual thinking, the habitual stirring and reaction. Without thought, you are already with the true mind, the silent mind. So avoid creating thought. When you are aware, you don't think. But the moment you are aware, something arises, you tend to perceive, then through habitual tendency, you input the content of consciousness, which are your views, opinion, conditioning, beliefs, and that one stir your mind. Don't. Awareness-based meditation means maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Don't let that thought process continue to manifest through habitual thinking, through the habitual stirring of the mind and reaction of mind. Yeah. So, at the moment of sense door consciousness, can it be from any of your six sense door? Whatever arise, aware. Sometimes it may move on to perception, never mind, perceive, but after that, aware. Don't allow it to proliferate or continue with the thinking. Yeah, that one is your thought process. You think because of your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. You don't have wisdom. When you have wisdom, you don't think. The wisdom will enable you to stop that thinking. Yeah, that wisdom can see things as they are, can come to terms with the reality and be at peace. That's it, finish. That's why relax, maintain awareness, finish. Then whatever arises, aware, finish. So the third support is to train yourself in this awareness so that it stabilizes. So the first two support leading to the stability of it is the third support. So the third support is continuously relax and maintain awareness until it stabilizes. So the free mind that is without thought, because when you do that, you do not allow the thought process to arise. You are able to decondition the heedless thinking or the continuous habitual thinking. Yeah. So ability to break that momentum through mindfulness and awareness is very important. When your mindfulness becomes continuous and very stable, then you hardly think. But to stabilize it, you need the initial wisdom through first turning, second turning, and third turning, awakening. So as you cultivate the first and second turning, develop the initial wisdom, then it will stabilize your mindfulness. Then after that, you can use it to develop the third turning wisdom, which is Bhavana Maya Panya, means the direct seeing. The wisdom developed through the meditative training of the silent mind in perfect sati, stillness, tranquility. The mind that is observing, the silent observation of what is the reality. Whatever that move and develop as condition, silent everything and just see. Then you understand how you become emotional, how you become fearful, how you develop the stirring of the mind. Then through that understanding, you retrospectively reverse all this. Why must you react that way? Why must you be deluded and deceived that way? That's why the essential Dhamma, the wisdom, will come back and allow you to reverse all this and reflect on the Buddha's teaching. Then you will understand. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that. So just let things be. Yeah. So all this understanding will become like wisdom that arises at the moment of sense experience. The Buddha called it Yoniso Manasikara. When there is this wisdom at the moment of sense experience, every moment this Yoniso Manasikara will spontaneously arise and prompt you. Then you will have the Dhamma understanding not to be deceived by the phenomenal world of consciousness, by whatever that arise. Then you can see things as they are. Be at peace with all situation within life. Can come to terms with all the realities that arise and manifest. And this is what wisdom is. The mind that has wisdom is in the state of equanimity. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, mindfulness, and tranquility of mind for as long as you can. Okay, then we'll continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have, you can ask regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and also how to apply all this training or understanding that you have developed to enable you to understand the Dhamma, apply the Dhamma, and develop the ability to resolve your life problems.
Good afternoon, Bratio.
Yes.
Mr. Steele and all Katlamitas.
Yeah,
Bratio, I think I would like to share something that is in relation to what you have been teaching today.
Very good. Yeah, today
post-retreat training.
Yeah, post-retreat training is very good.
Yeah, and also last Thursday's talk, unique code 133.
Unique code 133 and 134, also very good. Yeah, sadhu.
Bertio, as you know, I recently went for a trip in Korea.
Oh, yeah, sadhu.
Before I went, actually, during my religious routine, I asked for conditions, causes and conditions to have, good weather, because we could see that it was very cold, very cold, and sometimes raining. So I asked for the higher beings, protection and guidance, blessings, all of us, that is. All the people in the group, poor people, and even blessings for the people of Korea. That everybody would have a good time there. Surprisingly, no rain.
Yeah.
No rain. No heavy rain, I will say. Heavy rain until the last day itself. That one doesn't really matter because, as usual, when you go on a tour, day is always the day when they take you buying trip.
Correct.
To this shopping. Place and that place just to shopping. Shop. Yeah. How to say? Yeah. I will start off with the first day itself where it was actually quite challenging, So as usual, we fly off in the middle of the night, like what we did for the China trip. And we landed there in the morning.
Mm.
And we were prepared, like, you know, for that type of very sleepy condition. When we flew straight to Jeju, at the airport itself, so many things happened, Radio.
Oh.
Two of the passengers, their luggage were damaged. The wheels were damaged. That itself, with the local Malaysian local tour guide, took them over to whatever authorities lah to try to settle.
Yeah. To file so long, the claim and all that.
And he just left us there at the carousel. And we even asked him, where can we wash up and all that? He tells, don't do it in this airport, okay? We will leave this place and we find another place to do it. So we say, okay. So when when he left us, we don't know what to do. To go to the toilet, not to go to the toilet, you know, that sort of thing. So we all sit there waiting and waiting and waiting. And then somebody also lost their luggage.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, okay, this one may settle, this one happened. So that lady went again, go and hunt for those people to help her. Cannot find her luggage and don't know what to do because the tour guide is already somewhere else
settling the
damaged luggage. And when she finally found the luggage, it was wrapped up in cling film. So we said, don't tell me that somebody maybe have opened up your luggage to say something. Then the guy says, but there's nothing in my luggage. So they found that, said, oh, seems like nothing. But what we are worried about is in case somebody throws something into
drugs or what.
Yeah, but luckily that didn't happen. So when the tour guide came back, he was already so upset. Let's go. Quick. We wasted almost 2 hours there, you know, Bertil.
Quick.
Then he says, who is still not around? Then some people go toilet and all that. Then he says, why do you wait until last minute to go toilet? I said, in the first place, we don't know when you're coming back. We waited for you so long, you never come back.
Yeah.
You know? Then there was one guy, but they still couldn't find him. Don't know where he went. And they left his brother to wait for him. And he took all of us out, in the bus, he didn't come back, you know. And then we cannot leave because he's still not around.
Yeah.
Then when he finally found this guy, he scolded the guy. So the guy was very upset, young man. So this guy quarreled with him, of course. Already set the tune of the, you know, the beginning of the tune. Which was actually very bad, you know. So we feel that this tour guide was very immature. You know, he doesn't know how to handle a situation.
Instead
of telling us, you know, oh, this one is okay, it's just a small thing, you know, let's enjoy our food. You know, that sort of thing. He makes everybody so anxious, so angry. But good thing is we had a very good Korean guide.
Oh, lucky.
But this tour is in Mandarin, okay?
Oh, no wonder.
And poor PG Lim doesn't understand a thing. But I knew that this lady was very knowledgeable. She doesn't just talk nonsense, you know. She tells a lot of history and all that. And I try to understand a little bit so that at least I can ask my niece later what is it all about. After a while, Bratio, I lost track also, like, you know. It was very, very challenging for me. But the thing is, I try to keep my religious routine, Bratio. Every morning when we're on the bus, I try to do what we always do.
Meditation, the recitation, the chanting, everything.
The
radiation of metta, everything.
But it's very challenging when you have a very loud tour guide.
Definitely, sadhu.
It's like when we chan, then my mind will go off. I come back again.
That one is a good condition for you to train.
Very good condition for me to see every morning. Morning I have to do that.
Sadhu.
It was actually a very good trip, like, in a sense that I can ignore all this local tour guide, like, you know. Don't know how to deal with him, like, you know. It was a very tedious trip in the sense that every day we have to travel to a different place, which means that we have to change hotels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Then that means it's every night you unpack, every morning you
And then the next day check in new hotel, yeah.
Yeah, then 6 o'clock, morning call, and then 7 o'clock, rush, go to the to the makan place, and then 7:45, got to rush out again.
Oh, the one is really hit and run.
Yeah, it's very hit and run. And unfortunately, we somehow, I don't understand whether it's a school holiday or not, a lot of teenagers in all the places that we went. So it's like every place was very crowded, and the makan place was, you know, like, it's like no place to sit. No?
That's not, you.
Yeah, quite difficult.
They didn't book the table for you.
No booking one.
Right?
So it's like you come, you know, place, you just slot in anywhere and sit, you know.
Oh, like that.
Then it's like, but since we have been traveling quite often, it's a matter of getting used to it, you know. And what I wanted to say is, Pratio, during the trip itself, I try to use my whatever mind training that I have, cultivated. During my trip. But a lot of times fail, Pratio.
No, my one. Yeah, these are the conditions for you all to actually develop that training. Is in the midst of life when you encounter all this, then the reality of the training begin, because to have the ability to come to terms with the reality and develop the ability to train your mind is not easy. Like what I did during the 3 years, 86 to 89, at first, I myself also was very surprised. How come I can do it? Almost throughout the day, you know, I really trained until I was throughout the day ever mindful, constantly meditative and reflect, contemplate. And whole day I was like that. You know, sometimes for a certain months, certain period, I think 3 or 4 months, I hardly sleep or no. I just rest fully awake until I wake up. So that period showed me a lot of understanding that I know what that nature is, how to make use of the awareness to understand things. That Dhamma is everywhere. After that, you develop the joy and the understanding. Then the routine stabilize my awareness and make me very different. That's why after that, I progress very far. I move very fast and I understand things very fast. Then the Dhamma keep on arising, and it showed to me a lot of things that I supposed to see and understand. So keep on manifesting. So for you, it's a beginning, it's good. So finally, you're able to do it.
Only in certain instances, Pratio, that I am, am able to keep a stable mind. When we went to certain places where we have the temples,
You can silent.
I can silent myself. And as usual, it's a hit and run.
We are that type of trip that schedule is, I think, it must be the, what they call, the tour company organized on it, not private tour.
Not private tour.
No wonder. This one, you have a lot of such situation, because there was one lady, the restaurant owner lady that we know, he told us she went to the recent trip to China also, Hainan Tao. I asked her, my wife asked her, how's the trip? He said, terrible. He don't like shopping all those, you know. They forced the group to go shopping, the government, then nobody buy. I didn't hit the quota. Go another one. No, nobody buy. Still go another one until the whole day. She was so full of like bitaha. Cannot take it anymore. Because she don't expect the tour to be. She most of the time go on private tour. So they have their own group, their own routine, and not so hectic. So this one is worse than hit and run. He said they really force you to go to places that you don't. Then he said, so many people there. You know. Toilet break also problem. Everything also problem. Then there was another case where they mentioned four buses. And most of Jin Hao, I think, he took the mother to somewhere in China. They got four buses. And I think 70% to 80% are lady, you know. You know lah, I go for lunch, you go for dinner, toilet break, every stop. All the time and the hassle. Is it? Luckily you got the Dhamma training. Without the Dhamma training, complain in and out already. But that is the reality. That's why sometimes if we can have all this good spiritual trip or what, we should actually count our good blessing, because these are not easy to come by. It come by through our parami, our collective parami and consciousness. So all these are what we call causes and conditions that will manifest. Then sometimes when it started, it may not seem to be like smooth. Like our Wuthai San trip, the first day when we land, then the next morning we supposed to go on the mountain, but it turned out that morning like meant to be, it was raining until the bus cannot take us up because slippery and dangerous. So all these are the charter bus. So the Tao Yu, luckily very good, he talked to her, and her came and discussed with me. Then I told her, don't worry, change. Well, luckily we changed, meant to be. So that day, instead of go up the mountain, we visit all the temple down there first. And it was the Kuan Yin temple we visited. And turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Then everything fall into place. After that, the weather all very good, sunny. So when you have the understanding, when you are patient, everything will go the way it's supposed to be. So for your that trip, I think is one of the, not the private tour, it's a tour agency's organized tour. That one tend to have more problem. So for your case, I think it's quite normal. But it's a training for you and whoever who go.
Yeah, Bharatiya, it is true. Because, you know, like when we visit all these few temples on the way, I think hardly any one of them are really bothered, like, you know.
So
just take photograph. And we have very short time there.
Yeah,
short time. And when I was in one of the temples, they said, oh, you have the Kwan, because I asked the tour guide, the Korean tour guide, said, what other temples you have here? Then she, through somebody like you, you tell her, translate, there's a Kwan Yin temple on top there. So, I have to like quickly go off lah, you know.
One
group is taking photograph, I have to run all the way. First one is the main temple. That one we took a few photographs, then we went to the next one. Then I went up to the Kuan Yin temple. It's quite sadhu. High up. Then there's not much time, so I just go there, pay my respect, you know. But I noticed that every temple that I go to, there's always chanting, Bratio. Some monk will be doing some chanting.
Oh, do the chanting.
I will just try to sit as long as I can and just be mindful over there.
Yeah.
So thankful that I have the causes and conditions to be there, to pay my respect and all that, you know. Very thankful, at least I have the chances. Even when we went to one place where it's actually like a park, and when we were at the park, they spent a lot of time at the park and all that. Then only they told me, there is one temple at the end. At the end, how much time do I have? Then they said, oh, you have enough time, you must allow yourself 15 minutes to walk back.
Oh,
so I calculate, that means I have time only to walk all the way there, you know, then and then come back again. So I tell myself, never mind. Just be mindful, walk as fast as you can, go there, and really, brother, it's like go there, walk up, pay respect. You know, it's like you have less than 5 minutes there, and then walk out as fast as you can.
Yeah,
and the tour guide is waiting for me right at the gate. But it's a training, brother. It's a training. Of how not to be disturbed.
Like all these are causes and conditions for you to develop the training. Yeah, this type of tour is like that one, hit and run one. And all the schedule very tight one.
And it's also because nobody is interested about you.
Well, most of them are non-spiritual.
If you have more people, then, you know, the tour guide won't chase you.
Yeah, we can decide our time.
But because I'm the one and only, I told my niece, you just tell them to wait for me. I'm going inside there.
As long as you inform the Tao Yu or somebody, I think it's okay. They will know that you went up there and they will wait for you. But not too long, of course.
Because I time myself. I time myself that how much time I have, then I have to leave. That's the thing. And really, Laboratory, it's so different, a private tour and going for this tour.
And you follow tour on, very different. That's why sometimes it's worthwhile to pay a bit more. Then we have very good tour experience and also the tour guide and like their site over the other side, the tour guide that they hire. It depends on how much you're willing to pay on. Because you want a good one, pay extra for it. Like Wu Tai San, the one that took us around Linda, he is the best, the most experienced, and the best English tour guide around. So pay for it. So sometimes it's worth it. And we know has been very kind, and like most of the trip, he already promised he don't intend to make money. He will try to make sure it's properly done. And he also have a lot of joy. He also partake in all the wholesomeness. And he know when we follow us, everything will go on smoothly. Then weather all very kind and very good. So all this, you observe, you will come to understand. Then like this type of non-private tour, the tour company separately organized, and all the people that come, you don't know each other one most of the time. So this type of tour tend to be cheaper and have problem one. Sometimes nowadays, less than 16, they don't send a local guide one. Your group, how?
Yes, very still, yeah. The minimum, I think, is 15 or 16.
15 or 16, yeah. Your group is how many?
20 of us.
Oh, then they will send somebody.
Thankfully, Laboratory.
Then, like,
the group members all get along quite well.
Yeah, that was very good. That's that day we met Mr. Then he came with the wine. We had dinner, I think. Then he shared with us. He got one tour group, they only have 10. So actually not supposed to send the guide one. But then he felt like, no lah, not safe. So he himself went and paid for the ticket. I think 2,000 plus total. He paid. Then he went. Then luckily he went, is it? Because somebody, child, I think fall sick. Need to be admitted to the hospital or something. So sometimes the tour guide and the tour organizer is very important. If those profit orientated on and just maybe they do this business for profit and all things, then they don't have so much love, compassion and understanding. Sometimes, also because of that group, the karmic, so it will entangle themselves. So, all this are normal and is to be expected when we go on private tour and non-private tour. So, learn to see all this and understand all this. Then we will have a lot of what they call gratitude, and we appreciate what we really develop as understanding. Then we choose the appropriate, reliable, good tour company to help us organize. And the way we all came to know Mr. Also, not by chance, it's meant to be. Because that first trip already is so beautiful. Then after that, we continue to use him, and he proved to be reliable and good. Yeah, you continue, PG, yes.
Brother, because when we go for this type of tour, the priorities are different.
Yeah, different, so, very different.
When we go on private tours, it's already stated what we wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, we can make decisions in between.
Yeah.
We can extend the time or whatever. Then, like with Hai-san, I told her, we cut away one or two of the visits. We are not important one those. Then we spend more time at the place where we want to spend more time, like Chong Thai. Then there's another terrace also, very beautiful place. So that's why private tour, we have more flexibility and we can make decisions. We are the whole group, one consensus.
Yeah, because like you see, the certain activities that we feel is so unnecessary. Yeah. They, you know, like in one of the one day, towards the end of the day, it took to us. That time we went back to Seoul, He took us to this place what they call Lotte World. Bratio, half of us are oldies lah, 60 and above.
Oh, no wonder.
The rest are all children who follow the oldies. No.
Oh,
so most of them are almost 50 or so, see, like my niece.
Yeah.
One's going to play on those things? They left us there for 4 hours, no, brother. We don't know what to do. And you say, you all don't go out. You go out, you cannot come back. All of us are lost there, and as usual, like I told you, it's a school holiday, so it's fully packed with all the children. You have nowhere to sit. Even if we go to a cafe, you know, the fast food there and sit, you know, you can't sit there all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
People want to sit there and eat
4 hours, they sure chase you away.
Like, you know, you feel like you're a refugee, you don't know where to go. It's such a waste of time, brother. It's like, those places where we wanted to linger on, we don't even have time. And then
wasted so much time.
Yeah.
It's not that one. That's why when you go on this and see all these constraints, then you realize sometimes it's our good blessings or our good karma that we can have the Kayamita spiritual tour very well organized and relatively cheap, still very cheap. I look at it, it's worth the money because we really pay for value. Then really no shopping, nothing on. Don't have to go to all the coin. And some of China is a tough place, not easy. But we did it. And every of these spiritual trip turned out to be so beautiful. So you will start to understand, then you appreciate. This is what Dhamma is all about, life. Then we really develop the understanding. That's why when you reflect, you contemplate, then you go through your experience, then you see all these are not by chance, depend on our karma and our blessings. So develop mindfulness and you will understand all this. Then this experience can help you, yes? Despite what happened, you all have to endure. Well, you were already there, Anasana.
Yeah, but actually, it's already a blessing that nothing major happened and everything went smoothly.
And weather all very good.
Like I say, it's also due to this very experienced Korean guide. She's very good, you know. And how to say, the weather also helps us.
But very conducive.
For me, Baratio is really a good training for me.
Sadhu, yeah, because you English educated.
Baratio is like I have to space myself out because I can't understand what they are talking about.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah.
So and your niece like, know Mandarin?
All of them know Mandarin except myself.
Oh, very good. So at least your niece is around there to explain to you. Yeah.
Then I told them, I said, when you mention important information, you must let me know. Somebody must speak in English because otherwise I wouldn't know. The first few times the local Malaysian guide will speak in Hokkien so that everybody understands. But most of the time after that he forgets.
Then I have to
ask my niece, what did he say? What time have we have to be around? I feel that it's so unnecessary, but like you say, like once we have the training with the Dharma,
then learn it's to easy for us to adapt, to adopt.
So that we don't, you know, get so agitated.
We will not create a scene of the situation.
The last day itself, Bratio, they took us to all the shopping area as usual.
Yeah.
But in this case, it's not like the China one. This one, the people willingly go in, Bratio, and don't know how to come out.
It's a real shopping area.
They took us to certain big shops and organizations that caters for tourists only. The first one they took us is of course to the Korean ginseng lah, you know. Then the second one is to tell you, Koreans drink a lot, you know, and then liver detox is so important and all that. So they took us to this second one is liver detox. Okay.
Oh.
Then the third one of course is the beauty. These people don't know how to come out lah. There's so much time there.
The Korean beauty is famous because their young generation, they do a lot of this type of beauty thing or no, even plastic surgery, whatever. Their feature all very very typical Korean or no.
That's why they say a lot of Koreans, how to say their vocation, their profession, a lot of them go for dental, plastic surgery, they make a lot of, they can make a lot of money from those professions.
And they put in a lot of emphasis on all this because this is what their society's peer pressure is. Everybody is doing it, and they really spend money on this or no. Even the parent will help them or no.
To them, looking good is very important.
Well, that society to come out, you really need all this sort of thing. They didn't take you to cuckoo.
No, luckily no.
cuckoo Malaysia a lot.
So much so that the last activity, which is the free and easy, for us, it's like the time has been shortened so much. There's hardly any time for us to go and walk around and see things or buy things like that. And subsequently, after that, it rained so heavily. So all of us run like crazy, you know. We have to run back and, you know, hide somewhere. But overall, I would say that thankfully, everything goes well.
Everything goes on well,
Brother, but I came back with an injury again, no?
Oh, you fell.
I didn't expect it to be so bad, brother.
Oh, okay.
We stay in, for 2 nights, we stay different places, but it was the same concept where you have like a suite, you know, where you have a kitchen and all that. And this place is like a slightly raised platform. That means you're not expected to wear your shoes.
No wonder.
So, early in the morning when we are going out, after packing the thing, and I was pushing because I was staying with my elder sister.
Yeah.
So I pushed her luggage out. And her luggage the wheels caught the edge of the platform.
Oh, no wonder.
And it fell. And so I fell with it. When I fell with it, I hit the edge of the fridge that was standing there.
No wonder.
And it hit my ribs.
Oh,
so it was
okay.
Very bruised.
Mm.
But it didn't give me any trouble and all that, you know.
Mm.
Since the time until I came back, until yesterday, I don't know what happened. I didn't do anything major, but as of now, I can't really move much. I can't even call, brother. It's so painful.
Yeah. So means the injury is there. You better go and see the.
Yeah, I have to go and see the doctor.
One, huh?
No, I have to go and scan in case when I
crack better,
my
better,
ribs.
Better let them have a proper check, scan.
I can't even move now. You know, it's like.
Oh, the rib there.
The ribs, my right ribs is very painful now.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Because sometimes it could be fracture or whatever.
But for the last, it's like almost 10 days already, Bratio.
Oh, it didn't develop any problem until recently.
Until yesterday.
Until yesterday.
The whole of last night, I couldn't sleep. It was so painful.
Yeah, better go and see the Western medical.
Well, brother, okay. Let me summarize the whole thing up. From my this trip itself, I, in a way, I'm thankful that I have this experience to, see my cultivation in practice.
Yeah, to check your cultivation and to make use of your understanding to enable you to come to terms with whatever reality that unfold while on this trip,
Because a lot of times it's very challenging. Like I said, early morning we have to get up so early.
Yeah,
you know what time we arrive at the hotel? A lot of times it's almost 9 o'clock.
Oh, yo, that is really bad scheduling.
we
you
have
hardly
our
get to sleep and rest at the hotel.
We have our dinner normally.
That's
about 7:30 plus, you know.
Yeah, correct. Private tour, we cut short a lot of program, then we make sure we arrive early. The scheduled tour is all like that one, no. By the time they reach the hotel, very late one. Then you pay for the hotel, so no use. But the hotel, you hardly get to really sleep and make full use of the hotel. That's why sometimes all this non-private tour, you need to check with them on the itinerary and all those things. And you can negotiate for a more relaxed itinerary.
No, it's not for us to say. Actually, we have very lovely hotels. Seriously, we have very good hotels.
Yeah, but not
very
much time for
we
you all to.
We don't have time, brother. By the time I sleep, it's almost 12 o'clock.
Yeah,
6 o'clock, the morning call.
Yeah. Means you hardly have time to make full use of the facility. Even though
a lot of times, no, don't even think about facilities. It's like every night before I go to sleep, I do my religious routine, lying down on the bed, brother. Because the body is so tired.
That is the best time. Lying down.
I don't know
on
whether
the
I finish it or not. I just go to sleep already.
Yeah, because you're too tired, you relax, maintain awareness, then you do whatever religious routine. Then after that, let the body rest and sleep. No problem. When you wake up, you're more fresh.
More fresh, yes. But having to cope again with the day after day is actually
because
at end of the trip, I'm very happy to go back home.
Yeah. How many days?
It was supposed to be 8 days, 8 day trip. That as usual, the first day and the last day itself.
Because the flight,
traveling itself.
It's quite long, actually. 8 days, quite long.
I wanted to see autumn itself. Our purpose of going there actually is to experience autumn. But apparently we were a bit too early and not much of the trees have turned brown or red except when we went to the park. where we walk up the what called it, that place, the park. But I did not go up too high like, because my shoes were not very suitable.
In fact, for autumn, you need another month.
They say it should be
end
November.
End of November.
They were saying
it's
November.
very nice. Autumn, very nice.
But it will be too cold for us.
Ah,
Because
correct,
you see,
correct.
Every day, when end of the day, our last place of visit, by the time we go there, about 5, 6 o'clock, it's already very dark.
The sunlight.
We visit, it's in the dark, you know.
Correct, correct. The day time is shortened. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
Like
night is
this
longer.
place, yeah. This place we went to, is an old temple by the sea. I think it's in Busan.
Oh, Busan.
I think it's quite famous, this temple. We cannot see much because it's really so dark.
Yeah.
You can't even really take any photos. You can't even really see it. You know? So if for me is I just go in there, pay respect, and that's it.
Oh,
not too much.
No
yeah like I say like sometimes you but it doesn't really matter lah, Bertil. As long as we can see that these are the things for us to experience,
to develop the understanding. Even you go on that type of tour, it's like that one. And most of all these people who go, they don't have choice on. We are all already determined by the tour company, through their agreement and all those things.
And because we had to travel every day, so they have no much choice. And you cover this, and then you have to travel. You cover this, and then you have to travel.
What
this.
About the food? Is it
the food?
Suitable?
Actually, the food was okay.
Okay.
We had a lot of, as usual, like a lot of meat and the pork. But the seafood was not good.
Not good, huh?
All Korean. The two dinners we had, seafood was so terrible, brother. We were like, so much so that we didn't eat. Our table only the 8 of us, as usual, like the 8 of us normally together. We didn't eat. And then we go to the cafe and order fried chicken. The fried chicken was so good, right there.
Korean fried chicken
was so
fried
good.
Chicken,
we are so
happy.
Not so bad.
At least you know how to
least...
find alternative. Yeah.
But overall, very, very happy. I went to this trip. So that's all I have to say, Bertil.
Okay,
thank you for Bertil's guidance, actually.
No problem.
So that I can live my life mindfully.
With
not
better
being
understanding,
up.
And not affected by whatever happened.
When the mind get stirred, I can see that it is getting stirred, and I just stay with it
And that understanding
that
is very important. Otherwise, you will eat up one. Then it will complain and become like very emotional. That's why these are the cultivators' benefit when you have the understanding of the cultivation. Whatever it is, that's the way things are. That you know how to accord and flow and move it. Because this is the tool we choose. And the condition like that, we just accord and flow. So not so bad.
When there's acceptance, when there's
acceptance,
a lot of
then
things,
your mind better. In fact, recently also I got another old friend, very old friend. When I started working, we came to know them. They are almost our age. Their children also my children's age. So suddenly, near to 70 years old already, they call us and contact us again. Then they say, "Hey, come out for dinner." So we went for dinner. They took us for dinner. Then the wife suggested, "Hey, want to go for tour or not? The Hainan tour lah, this December. And it's going to be like your one, non-private one, the organized one." So we just join one tour company, which I think the couple go and source. It's
Hainan
expected lah.
is they're doing a lot of promotion for Hainan now,
Yeah
Brazil.
lah, like the restaurant lady, the lady boss, is it? He advised her don't go. He said weather very hot, terrible. But I told my wife it's like that one lah, because it's not a private tour. And then she herself, the lady boss, say, "No, you come in, pay it all, 1,000,000, I think it's renminbi lah, for a private tour better." He said, "No need to rush here, rush there, and go through all the hassle of going to the Guoying, the government one. They take you to promote their whatever good one. Then you don't buy, they go some more. You don't buy, they go another one." But mine is quite short, 5 days, 4 nights.
5 days.
That
but
one
brother,
is.
seriously, try not to follow that kind of tour. It's
Oh,
very.
definitely. But these are old friends, no problem. For me, I know them very well. And we all also, they are also people that have experience. So we also would know what to expect. So hopefully everything turned out well. But I checked with another friend. He told me he liked the tour. But he also say better pay more for private tour. Is it? Well, he went on the private tour and he pay more, but he enjoy it. He said he liked. So different people has different perception and opinion of what is to be. But the way I look at it, because that organized company, I think it's deluxe golden, golden deluxe or deluxe golden tour or what, I forgot already. They organize a lot of this type of trip. One month is about three or four of this trip. All going to the same few places, mainly China. So anyway, meant to be. So finally, I just tell them, no problem. I say, go ahead. I let them prepare, organize everything. Then see how it goes.
So when you going, Brazil? December?
December. December, I think, 14. Flying off 14.
But that would be very cold, isn't it, Brazil?
Colder, but not so cold. Well, Hainan is not that.
Oh, yeah.
Not
Hainan,
that north. It's towards the south.
The sea.
About same weather as Thailand, northern Thailand. So you go during that time, very cooling, very cooling. Otherwise, it's too hot. So even last month, that lady boss went, he said, very hot, everywhere looking for shade. He said, like Malaysia, like, very humid, very hot.
this trip, like, we thought that Korea would be so cold. We brought so much warm clothes. It was not so bad. Thankfully, lah, Brazil, because I also can't really take that type of cold weather.
For you, at least you recovered already. Not so bad.
Yeah, Brazil, I recovered from my cough, 90% already. But now, this injury, now I have something to deal with again, Brazil.
Keep on coming.
After another
you
like
have
that,
to understand.
This coming, I really have to do something.
But don't worry, endure, understand, and do what you have to do. You need to ask for forgiveness. Then it was clear. Like Chipolian also went through a lot. So a lot of these things, you need to pay back. You have to pay back.
I heard Sunday talk. So it looks like both of us.
That's why the two of you good friends. But it's a blessing, because despite all this, like Chipolian mentioned, can still encounter the Dhamma and all those things. You felt very blessed already. The good karma, because like I explained to her, the good and the bad both also there. But yours is not as bad as Chipolian. Chipolian went through one is the triple gem one, that one more kaulat, but that one she cleared already. So now is the other thing that affect her leg. She a few times already organized that lake there, the same lake. It's just like last time, this Chui also cannot snatch teeth and all those things. Then Chui also went to, as she reached the age, I think above 60 to 70s, that is the phase she have to endure a lot of things. Which, with the Dhamma understanding, it has helped her. That's why she now appreciate the Dhamma. She is trying to help and do whatever she can. She is benefiting from it, and having the Dhamma really help many Kayamitas.
Yeah, Bharatiya, I totally agree with that. When we have the Dhamma, even if our understanding is not that penetrating, it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, it makes a lot of difference.
Especially when we, when we listen to the short videos
sharing,
and all,
yes,
and all the sharing, it evokes something in us that, you know, we are really doing something with our life.
Right? Yes,
that it is something that
it makes a big difference.
It makes a lot of difference.
I saw the recent short video that came out the last Thursday class on. When I received it, I saw already 38 of them view. So I was very surprised. Normally the new video come out about 10 or 15 or what. But this one 38. No? Oh, yeah, that unique code was very good. So now
more and more people are,
more and more people are appreciative of this type of sharing.
Yeah, but I think I will end the session here
because let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merits. Aka satta ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamodito cirang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. There we end. Sadhu.